Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm a Giants fan. Wait, do I sound good, by the way? I just want to make sure.
You do.
All right, cool. I don't want this to ever get fucked up. It's not like Tony Romo was just like the worst of the worst. And I actually do, on a certain level, I actually do kind of respect Tony Romo, because he used to make shit hard for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, pause. Like, he used to really, it used to be like, damn, dog. Like, we got to play the Cowboys on opening night. Shit might get a little hairy out there. And him, he used to find Jason Witten for some late game touchdown every time and break our heart. So I respect him on a certain level. But crying for that nigga? Nigga.
So that is your
That's the
one
only blemish.
Blemish
with I T.O. love T.O. I love T.O. Like, I think there's a true argument to be made, and I would not argue against it, for him being the greatest wide receiver ever. Or like the best wide receiver ever. Let me not say greatest, the best, because greatest is about like decoration.
What's the difference between greatest and best?
Well, this is for me, and I always say this is my own thing. The difference between greatest and best is, like, you might find somebody that's like better skill wise, right? Like technically skilled better than somebody. So they might be able to like rap wise, right? Let's look at rappers. Black Thought is probably a better rapper than Jay-Z. Better. He's not greater than Jay-Z because he doesn't have the accomplishments, the story, the contribution to hip-hop. Greatness, I think, speaks to the accolades and the, you know, it's more of like the all-around kind of shit. I think best only speaks to skill and, you know, art, like the know-how, the how-to of it. So T.O.,
okay.
Catch everything, run any route, big, physical, fast, smart, all of that. Greatest, probably Jerry Rice, because he got the numbers. You know what I mean? So greatness is more of your stamp on the... Like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Tom Brady, skill-wise. He's not greater than Tom. Tom is the GOAT. Like, niggas can't even play games with Tom. He's the GOAT. Pat Mahomes, skill-wise. Is he better than Brady? Maybe. You can debate it. Greater? No, never.
I like that. I like that argument.
Yeah, man. That's the way I separate it, when people say greatest and the best. And it's like, you know, it's two different things. Sometimes they line up. Sometimes.
Man. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, look, let's welcome our listeners back to the society. How y'all doing? It's Queen B from the South, baby. Watch your mouth. You know I'm joined with Mari. You know, how you feeling over there with your Giants? Man,
Listen, first of all, we want to know. So y'all got to talk to me a different kind of way. If your team is not 1-0, and if your team, you know, just ain't us, you just kind of got to watch your mouth a little bit. That's all. That's all I want you to do, you know? But it's me. Y'all know what it is. You hear the voice of me. You know the headline, man. It's me. I'm in the building. Yeah, we out here, man. It's about that time, B. I'm going to tell you what's sad, though. We haven't been 1-0 or even over 500 in like 6 years.
It's sad.
It's sad, but it's a beautiful day.
Ooh, what? That's why you are like extra happy right now.
What? I was so
good
listen,
for you.
I was
good
so
for
hyped. We gonna get into all of that, man. We definitely gonna get into all of that. We got a couple things to get into. First and foremost, shout out to BD. Shout out to good people over at Slick. Shout out to Ken Marshall. Ken Marshall, if you guys don't know by now, man, very funny guy, very cool guy, part of the Slick family. And he has the Hoop Her Women's Dunk Contest going on every Friday night, 8 p.m. Download the Caffeine app. It's free.
Download 99. That thing.
Download it.
We like
and
that.
Then, and download that thing. All right. once you download the app, you go in there, you follow Slick, S-L-I-C, Same as on the socials and all that. It's all in the description. And then you can go ahead and sign up, and you can watch these, you know, every Friday. And if you're in the LA area and you're a good person and you know the right people, you can pull up to the live taping of it. It's right at the studio.
That's right.
It's right there.
Is there
food, drinks, good people, all of that?
Wait,
you know?
They got
and this
food?
Show is great, man. They got
food. Oh,
they got
shit,
food, man.
See?
They got
that's
food.
That's all you had to say. That's all you
drinks.
Had to say.
And not just drinks, but drinks. You feel me?
Drink.
So
okay.
You can have your drinks, but then you got the drinks too. You know, and then you have a good time out there, man. It's a lot of people, man. A lot of great people. A lot of special, important, forward-thinking people pulling up to these spots, man. So come through and
that's
all that.
Good.
But if you can't
we definitely
make it,
need more of that.
Yeah, download the app. Watch it, man. Friday nights, 8 p.m., man. It's lit. That shit is fire, man. Shout out to Ken Marshall. He got something going with
yeah.
this. So I ain't gonna hold you.
Shout out to Ken.
Where you want to start, though?
So,
we got a lot of things to get
look,
to.
Look, do you start? See my shirt right now?
I see my shirt. Oh, I see it. Listen, the infamous, the world-renowned Death Row Records. Like, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 26 years ago, on this date, as we're recording, we lost a legend.
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest losses that the hip-hop culture suffered. You know what I mean? Where were you 26 years ago when you heard that Tupac passed?
Damn, man. I want to say I was probably with my cousins, if I'm just remembering right, because we would always, like, spend time together, whether it was summertime or, you know, just whatever, right?
Yeah.
And we listened to Pac heavy. We'd be in the basement trying to see who remember the most verses. Like, you know, that's how we did with rap overall. You know, whether it was Big,
yeah.
Pac, whoever it was. But Pac specifically, you know, had a definitely made a great mark on my life as a kid. So I'm sure I was either with my cousins, with my friends, something. But I know for a fact that, like, I remember hearing that news. And I remember seeing, like, the moods of people change. Like, the adults and all of that just kind of change.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, you know, it was deeper than rap. You know, I think, you know, I might have been even too young to grasp just how devastating of a loss that was, because Pac wasn't just a rapper. He was, you know, he represented on a greater level than that. So it was, yeah, that was,
yeah,
man,
he was an,
shit.
He was everywhere.
Yeah, 100%.
He was a political force. He was an actor and a great one at that. Like,
absolutely.
We didn't even really get to tap into, like, Tupac as an actor.
Yeah.
He had some movies, you know, that was in the works, but, you know, didn't get a chance
to really see his career flourish. I don't think I've ever said this on any podcast before, but if you go watch The 40-Year-Old Virgin and you specifically pay attention to Romney Malco's character, I could see Tupac playing that character.
Oh, my goodness.
If you go back and watch how he moved, watch how he talked, watch how he act, just his mannerisms. That's Pac, right? Like, to me, that's
I can
that's
see that.
Pac. And Romney Malco already paid MC Hammer in the old joint. I don't know if y'all know about that.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all might not have been outside back then, but yeah. But I just wanted to say that before I forgot about it.
But, you know, he was supposed to be Jody and Baby Boy.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
He passed. Tyrese took on that role. And I think Tyrese did a phenomenal job.
He smoked
and
that. Yeah.
In that movie, there's a huge, like, Tupac painting
on
in Jody's
wall.
Room, which,
yep.
you know, pays tribute to Tupac. I would have loved to have seen Tupac play that role.
I think he could have did
some. I loved him
shit,
in
man.
Poetic Justice, but
yeah.
that would have been great seeing him. And I'm not sure if, you know, Taraji was the actress that would have been, you know, his co-star,
right,
but
right.
it would have been incredible just to see him in a romantic drama situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, 26 years ago, I was in Lexington, North Carolina. I'll never forget.
North Carolina.
I was in the car when the news dropped that he had passed. Now, we knew that he was in the hospital. You know, they were trying to save his life, but he succumbed to his injury. So that was really sad. I remember my mom crying. My mom was a huge Tupac fan.
Yeah.
Like a lot of black
absolutely.
Women.
Yeah. 1,000%.
His fine ass. Lord have mercy. So, of course, the girls is sick. The ladies are crying.
Dudes
but
sick. All the dudes that would have got nose rings and shit, they were sick too.
They were sick. Tattoos on the stomach, on the neck, yeah.
Any enemy, anybody that ever drank Hennessy, you know what I mean? They was mourning, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I remember it didn't hit me until later that evening that they were playing like tributes and montages on the news, like Entertainment Tonight and all these different networks. And they showed a picture of Tupac when he was like 4 years old. And I was like, oh, this is somebody's son.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, I was like 8, 9 years old, like, and I felt that. I was like, wow, this is a person that just passed. Like, this is a real human being whose life was taken.
You know what's scary about that, too? And I think the reason why it didn't really hit us like that is because before Pac passed away, not only was death an ongoing theme in his music, but even the video where Bokeem Woodbine is in there. You know what I'm saying? He's playing.
I ain't mad at you.
You know what I mean? Like, you see it happen. And then it's like, even once he's gone, you get the, what's the Do For Love joint, where it's like the cartoon. And But the things that he was talking about was still so relevant. It was like, it almost
shed
didn't
so many
seem,
tears.
Yeah.
All the songs was just foreshadowing.
It almost seemed like it didn't really happen, because it was like, wait a minute, he kind of played, he was alive in the video when he played himself passed away, but then there's a cartoon video and what he's talking about is still relevant. So
yeah,
the loss of Tupac, and again, people, you know, you make jokes and but, all that, like, it's cool, but Pac is Pac, man. Like,
yeah. And you know, going back to what you just said about like his videos and stuff, I think that's why all of the rumors came back, were, you know, circulating that he was actually alive. Like, he faked his death because there's no way that he could. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, come on. But yeah, rest in peace to the legend.
Yeah,
and
rest in peace, Pac,
unfortunately, yesterday we lost another guy in the rap game. Rest in peace to PNB Rock. That shit sucks. Like, this honestly bothers me so fucking much.
Yeah.
Because, one, there was a video of him that was posted of him after he was shot, laying on the floor in his blood. You know, there's people trying to comfort him, I guess, until, like, the ambulance got there. But he was, you know, robbed at Roscoe's. And a lot of people are blaming the woman that he was with because she posted their location at Roscoe's in South Central LA, that, you know, this is where they're hanging out, this is where they're getting food. But instead of blaming the woman for posting the location, of course, yes, be more careful. Stop posting your location. If you really have to post where you are, wait until you leave, honey. Yeah. Just wait. Don't let everybody know how you're moving. But we need to blame the people who actually committed this heinous crime.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It's so even with that, right? Like, the people who did it, this area is one that, shout out to Jason Madison, friend of the show, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Gang. And he spoke on that and he was like, yo, I've lived in LA my whole life and I'm from South Central and I've never been to that Roscoe's location, because you kind of like know what's going on over there. So even so, so with everybody coming at this young lady on social media about her posting the location, whether she did or didn't, that area was shark infested, so to speak. You know what I mean? So it's like, it just was what it was, right? Like, I'm sure that they didn't do this knowing that they were walking into a dangerous, it probably looked like it was all right right then. You know what I mean? Like, you know, but yeah, I think that there does need to be more focus on like the loss of life and not trying to place blame on, you know, oh, this is what happened. And it's like, it's fucked up, man.
I'm seeing a lot of people saying, yo, like, when you come to LA, like, you gotta check in, you gotta make sure, like, you straight, you just can't be out here with jewelry. You gotta, like, I just find that to be so, it's dumb. I'm gonna just be real. I find it to be really, it's so stupid, because,
like, in bad taste,
you out
or
here,
timing, or,
like, it's just bad.
The idea of it.
Just the whole idea of it. Now, I could see this making sense if this is you protecting your community, protecting your hood, making sure, like, shit is straight. But you guys aren't keeping that same energy when white people are pulling up and gentrifying your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like, you got someone here who is going into your community and eating at this restaurant that is, not like, notorious for black people to pull up at. Why can't this man come and enjoy a meal in peace? Why y'all running up on people, on another black man? Why are we doing this? Like, I understand there are people out here who are poor, starving, they, you know, looking for a come up, But yo, like, we got to take care of one another. We can't be out here hurting each other. It's just so frustrating to see people losing their lives over jewelry and then try to justify like, oh, you know, you ain't from here and you can't be out here. You got to have security to go eat, my nigga.
Hey, I mean, really? Look, I'm going to tell you, as fucked up as it might sound, like, yeah, because shit is nasty. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would never, if you came to my city or if anybody that I know came to my city with me, and, like, I just sent them to this Coney Island over here on this block and that block. Like, a part of you got to, like, and you know what I'm saying is because, like, I lost a close homie of mine, like, a childhood friend of mine, like, a couple years ago to gun violence in the Coney Island. Like, the one that I'm talking about right now. Like, just being there. Like, just being there in that environment. But we already kind of knew, like, in the city, you know the spots to not go to. I think that I wish that more of this was not centered at like victim blaming. You know what I mean? Like I wish the people's tones wasn't so on victim blaming, but more
that's
so
the
as
issue
a cautionary
that I
tale. Yeah, but more as a cautionary tale. I think they need to tailor it in a way where you're telling people like, hey, look, you see what's going on out here. It shouldn't be this way, but unfortunately, it is. And so when you come here, try to be as careful as you can, and if you're not sure, make a call if you can, and let's see what's going on, and let's see if somebody can help you figure it out. So on that side of things, like, yes, I do want people to move safe, but I don't want anybody to victim blame this man. This man was out there minding his own business, not bothering anybody, enjoying a meal. I don't care what he had on. He could have had a million chains on. He could have had $1 million sitting on the counter. That's his. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be this way. It's fucked up. I just hope that moving forward, it's people that can learn something from this other than victim blaming and, like, gatekeeping grief. You know what I'm saying? Like, people
right,
like, oh, well, well you
part.
Didn't. Oh, man, well, you can't name 10. Listen, I don't need to recognize this man from anything. This man could have been a regular 9-to-5 dude. That's a loss of life, and it's a black man, and that shit hurts. Hearing that news, like, really did something to my mood. It bothered me. I never met this man. I don't know him from, you know, from nothing. I know him because he's an entertainer, but, like, man, it's, you know.
I met him in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
He came to my job. I was his server. I was like the stage manager. So whenever we had artists, I always took care of the artists. So I remember thinking like, you know, I know he's really young. I don't really know much about his music. But when he was there, he was the most mature, calm, chill, peaceful person I had ever seen come through there. Usually it's like, oh, this is my first show in Vegas. We better turn up, and it's a huge entourage and it's like a lot happening. But he was just sitting there just so fucking cool. I was honestly like impressed. I was like, look at him. Like he is just so chill.
Yeah.
And he did something that only one other artist has done, which is tip the servers. Him and Plies. He like artists, they come, they get paid a bag to come and perform. They have a rider. It's like, I want this type of liquor and food.
Yeah. I only
when
want
I
nothing
get
but
there.
Green gummy bears in my shit when I pull
right. Like people really have their riders, but his rider was straight. Like he just had like some Moet and just a couple drinks. And you know, I'm making sure that he's taken care of.
Yeah.
But before he left, he pulled me and the other waitress to the side and gave us some money. I was just you really don't have to do that because no one does that.
Yeah.
But he went out of his way to make sure the servers were taken care of. And I just, that always stuck with me. Every time I would ever see his name in media, I always thought like, yeah, that's a good dude. He's cool.
Yeah.
He's cool people.
You love to hear stories like that about people, you know, because if you left the impact on anybody's life, you know what I mean? Like you did your job, you know? And so, you know, our deepest condolences, our sincerest condolences to his family and loved ones. I always think back to like my homeboys and my brother and, you know, other family members and things like that, where it's like, man, I can only imagine what his family is going through. Like this guy has some status. So now you got to look online and you can search his name and you can see videos, or you can see people's opinions, or you can see shit like that. I can't imagine what that would do to me if my brother was like, you know, has some type of notoriety in the world where like everybody from every part of the world, from the country can just have an opinion on this man. Didn't know him from anything. So I do want to encourage people, be sensitive to what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, be respectful and just understand, like, bro, that shit could have been anybody. You know what I mean? So, like, just kind of watch your words about how you feel about people, like, online. And thing. They have family and friends and people that love them. They don't want to see their name and all that shit. You know what I mean? Like, even if you got a point to make, Try not to use them to make it, please. Like, just please, just a little.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of talking about people online.
Yes.
We got Miss Nicki Minaj. Oh, she is out here.
She is back again with the fucking shenanigans, man. The shenanigans. Goddamn.
Shenanigans.
She put the she in, like, shenanigans. Like, goddamn.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, I don't know.
And she put the again in that motherfucker too. Now that I'm thinking about it, because she, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah, she's really contributing to a lot of shenanigans. Yo, one thing that's, like, really bothering me is the whole stan culture.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is about Nicki Minaj fans, the Barbs. Damn, what did she say to you guys? Like, is there, like, a secret email newsletter chain that's going out, like, telling it's y'all some type to of fucking whistle
or something that, yeah, only they can,
like,
hear?
Like, that only they can hear that shit. Yeah. It is the craziest thing in the world. Like, I don't ever type her name because they're searching and waiting for anybody to say anything about her so they can go crazy. Like, I have a friend
for weeks.
One of my friends, Mandy, okay, from Full Court Pump, See the Thing Is podcast, Horrible Decisions.
Shout out to Mandy.
Yo, shout out to her. But I remember going to New York, and this is the first time I had ever heard of the term shadow banned. She went on another podcast, and she said some things about Nicki, pretty much like she's really just not a friendly person. She's not a girl's girl.
Mm.
And I guess Nicki heard this and literally sent her fans straight to Mandy's page, and they just commenting the nastiest shit on her page, reporting her page. And so, you know, she's verified and all this stuff, but even with me following Mandy, I would type in her name in the Instagram bar, like if I need to go to her page to see something, whatever.
Yeah.
I had to type it out in full before it would even pop up, because her fans got her shit banned. It's the craziest shit. Like, what's wrong with saying, hey, I don't even know how to say it. Like, you can't accept constructive criticism because you enjoy her as a rapper.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a lack of accountability. And then it's also like living vicariously through someone who you kind of identify with. So you view a person, you view an attack on them as an attack on you because you think that you're, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like back when Jay-Z and Nas was beefing, there was a divide between Jay-Z and Nas fans where you had to pick a side. Yep. It was like, if you're a Jay-Z guy, oh, you this type of dude. Oh, if you're a Nas guy, oh, you that type of, and it was just a, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's kind of what's going on with Nicki, because her fans are, and I will say this, her fans are loyal. You know what I'm saying? They're loyal. They will, whatever she say, that shit goes with them. She has like a legitimate army. I just think that right now it's kind of setting in, and I think we probably had this conversation before, that this is not just like the Nicki Minaj Invitational any longer. Like, this is like, it's more, you know, and I think Lotto spoke to this recently, right? Like, Lotto was talking about how, like, for so long it was just Nicki, and I think we talked about this. It was at the award shows. Nicki will win best female rapper, female rap album of the year, female single, female whatever, and it was all her all the time. And once the playing field started to get, I don't want to say even, because she's a legend in her own right. So maybe some of these girls aren't on her status like on that type of time. But they're talented. They're out here. They're visible. And they're like doing their thing. And I don't think she's ever had a climate like this. So now it's hard to fathom.
Which is wild. It's like you're just not a girl's girl. And it comes off as you look like a hater. Why would you not want female rap to grow and become huge? You just want to be the girl and the only girl? Like, is that not weird behavior where no one else can shine? And it's like, and like, she has this remix out, and she has, you know, some girls on the track with her.
Mm-hmm.
JT is on there, Bia, you know, some other girls. And she said that she chose those girls to be on this remix because they congratulated her on a number one. So it's like, unless you are out here publicly, like, showing how much you really fuck with me and kissing my ass, then I don't fuck with you. Unless you're doing that, cool. But if you're not, yeah, you can go eat shit.
And then also, if you are kissing my ass, the second you stop, you can be replaced too. Like, you'll be out of here too. So don't think that you just, you know, whatever. And for me, it's the same conversation we had about Future before. I keep telling you guys this. The reason why Future is going to be around for a long time, and the reason why Future will be regarded as like the GOAT of a generation, is because Future understands that he's hot, and lighting somebody else's fire off of his shit don't take away from him being Future. That's the reason exactly. why you see him doing songs with Babyface Ray, 42 Doug, Peasy. You see him doing with all of these guys, that's all of these young guys, ESTG, any guy that's young and that's in that realm, Gunna, Thug. You can't name a dude that he ain't work with. Lil Baby. Like, you cannot name one of the young dudes. And guess what? When Future's name get on that song, their view go up, you know, as well. And Future's like, look, I'm ingratiating myself with all of these young dudes, and I'm going to make sure that these dudes feel the love. That's the reason my Future everybody will always be able to reach back. Yeah, everybody can eat. Everybody eats. I saw the movie.
Yeah.
That's all paid for. I don't know if y'all didn't. Go back and watch that. It's going to be homework for y'all. But that's why I always applaud Future. Always. Always. Mm-hmm. Even Drake.
The art.
Like, even Drake, he'll do that.
The art of collaboration.
Yeah.
If you know that you are that, can't nobody take your shine. Can't nobody take attention away from you. Yeah. If you are so threatened by somebody else, like, that should just make you want to go harder. It's like, oh,
and,
wow.
And you being Megan threatened Stallion's by them. Fire. And you, cool. I'm going to do a song with her. It's going to make them want to go at you and get you out the way and not include you on certain shit. But if you man. Embrace these dudes, they're going to always call you big bro. Hey, big bro. They're going to make sure you good. Like, it's just what it is.
I'm going to be real. If I was one of these rap girls and she's out here subbing me and talking shit to me, I would never let her forget why she could not perform at the VMAs last year.
Oh, shit.
Do you know why she couldn't perform at the VMAs last year?
I got an idea.
Because that motherfucker was too close to a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, man. I didn't know the establishment, but I knew it was too close to something where...
It was too close to a Chuck E. Cheese, my nigga.
And that is disgusting. And for those who don't get that off of just like, just that statement alone, it's nasty. It's nasty. The fact that you have to call ahead and see, like, wait, how close is that to the middle school? Nah, I don't think we're going to be able to swing that.
That is the craziest thing. And then this year she got like the Video Vanguard Award, but they had to make sure in order for her to be able to pull up and accept that award, it had to be in the right location. I would never let her forget this whole nasty situation that's going on with her. I would name, I would title my album Chuck E. Cheese. And the title track would be about her.
Yeah, have the album and then do tours and do a tour where you only go to like schools, Chuck E. Cheese. Do they still got Jeepers? Is Jeepers still a thing? Or am I just some old? So all of
that in a long time.
All of that, all of those little establishments and shit like that, man.
Like the shit is ugly, yo.
Yeah, it's nasty.
And like the girls are coming at Nikki too. Like, I'm not sure if you saw on Twitter what was trending.
Hey.
Which I'm sorry, black women are so fucking funny.
I was just about to say they're so creative, dog.
So creative, like we really have. The button of the, like, we have the culture right here under our fingertips.
Yeah,
everything
absolutely.
That we start becomes cool. Shout out to Kinta, what was trending? Yes, shout out.
Shout out to Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Shout out the Emmys. Yes. So, what was trending was it's giving Coke. It was a line that Lotto said in in her song It's Giving, but yeah, she's like, it's giving Coke, because Nikki has been up online going in, and I think she said she hadn't slept in like 2 days, and she's like, you know, doing Queen Radio and doing all these different things, and she's just going on these tangents, and people are like, girl, are you okay? Like, you need to take a break.
Yeah,
but you know, it is what it is. But yes, shout out to Cheryl Lee Ralph, the original Dream Girl, the original Dina Jones, honey.
Absolutely.
She should have gotten an Emmy long ago.
Yeah, this is like Nas getting winning the the Grammy.
Winning a Grammy, you know what I mean? For real.
Nas getting yes. a Grammy for this shit is just like this. Like, this shit should have been happened mad long ago. So, I'm not mad at it at all. A little long overdue. Very long overdue, but very well deserved. So.
All right, Mari. We were talking a little NFL earlier. So, if you could, for people like myself who didn't get a chance to watch week one or see any games, can you give us, you know, a little recap?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I would be glad to. So let's start. Let's take it right from the top. Thursday Night Football, which officially kicked off the 2022-2023 NFL season, was the Bills and the defending champion Rams. You know, the Bills went in there, did their thing, got crazy on them. You know, but Sunday was incredible, man. You know, I got a chance to watch Joe Burrow and the Bengals go against Mitch Trubisky. Yes, you heard that right, Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers. And you know, it was a great game. I thought that the Bengals would probably run away with that game, just you know, by how they looked last year. But they actually lost that game in overtime by a field goal. Obviously, Pat Mahomes, man, he's been listening to all the whispers everybody's been having about. Oh, what is he gonna look like without Tyreek Hill? What is he gonna? Oh, he's just gonna be Pat Mahomes like he always been. That's all.
We were talking about NFL earlier.
I mean, you know, everybody starts talking about
some
that.
Some people
talking
up, like people like just, myself, who
this is still Pat Mahomes
man. Wasn't able to tune in to week one.
30 for 39, 360 yards. Recap. Like, stop playing with this guy, please. I know his brother does weird shit, and his girl, you know, does weird shit, but. This is still Pat Mahomes we're talking about. Let's be respectful. Please, let's be respectful to this guy. You got Minnesota Vikings smoked Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I knew it was going to be a long day for the Packers. When the very first time Aaron Rodgers threw the ball, he hit a wide receiver in stride in his hands, and he dropped it. And I was like, yep, that's just going to be that kind of afternoon. And that's just what it was. Justin Jefferson ran all over them. That's just what it was. The Colts. Let's talk about the AFC South for a second. A lot of people like to give the NFC East a lot of, you know, shit talk or whatever. And the NFC East is bad. My team exists in the NFC East. But we're 1-0. We are 1-0. Now, four teams in the AFC South played. That is the Colts, the Texans, the Jaguars, and what's the other team? The Titans. None of these teams got a W. Titans obviously played us. Spanked. The Jaguars played the Commanders. They lost by 6 points. But I'll tell you this. The Colts and the Texans played each other, Bethany. Now, you might be asking yourself, how did they play each other and nobody got a win? They tied. There was a tie going into the game. So, no team in the AFC South won a game. None of them. Get them out of here. You know what I'm saying? The Eagles barely beat the Lions. Eagles, I'm not impressed. Still trash, still buns. I don't care. I don't want to hear none of that. Washington, y'all beat the Jaguars. So what? Like, so what? You were supposed to. You took your kids to the zoo. Congratulations. Cowboys, they didn't score a touchdown. Cowboys got smoked. 19-3. Embarrassed. Bums. Get out of here. The Broncos, Russell Wilson, went back into Seattle, tried to go in there and, you know, right the ship and all this shit. And, you know, and they lost. They lost by 1 point to Geno Smith. Geno Smith had a very, very great line, a classic line in this. He said, they wrote me off, but I ain't right back, though. I love that. Shout out to Geno, man.
Yeah.
I do love that. There's a couple other quick things. The Chargers beat the Raiders. Of course they did. The Raiders are the Raiders. The Browns. The Browns spoiled Baker Mayfield's revenge game. You know, he got all the commercials and all this shit. Wasn't enough, man. They lost. The Falcons. The Falcons falconed. Just as you expect them to. They had a lead all game. Jameis went in there. Ate a W on them, you know?
Yo, speaking of the Falcons, I know you saw that video of Rotimi and this whole, like,
that's
Falcons anthem. What the fuck
no, that's
was
what
that?
They lost. Listen, I'm going to tell you who was right there. They could have went and got Young Nudie. They could have went and got Lil Baby. They could have went and got whoever. They could have went and got Luda, Chris Lover. They could have got 2 Chainz. They could have got whoever. And they went and got Rotimi. And if you look at the video, you like, oh, maybe he's spitting. You turn that video on, this man get the Falcons, we're going to raise up. Like, come on, man. What are we talking about? That's why they lost. Rise up. You couldn't even raise your voice. You going to rise up? No, come on, man. Come on.
They got Mr. Butterscotch, man. Yeah, that's crazy.
This dude played Dre and Power, man. You saw what happened to him. Burnt them down, just like the Saints burnt them down on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Ravens burnt the Jets. Shout out to Joe Flacco. I love Joe Flacco. I ain't got no Joe Flacco.
Flacco is a fire ass name.
I love Joe Flacco, man. I really do. So they went and they got that W. The Bears beat the 49ers 19-10. The Dolphins smoked the Patriots in Bill Belichick's hoodie 20-7. And that's about it, man. You know, it was a great weekend. I'm glad the NFL is back. The Saints are the first team to fuck up the money this year. I had a two-team parlay in. Two teams. I had the Giants winning right out. And then I had the Saints winning by like 6 points. The Saints said, fuck your money. That's what they said to me. But it's all good. Damn. I got a chance to see a lot of Falcons fans disappointed, so it's whatever.
Did you lose a lot?
No. So shout out to mybookie.ag. They sent me a $20 free play. Just NFL opening weekend. They sent me a $20 free play. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just play two teams. And I think I stood to wager. I stood to win about like 150 off of that. But was what it was. Free play, first week of the season, just getting your feet wet. So, yeah.
Yeah. No. Sounds good. When we first started this episode, mm-hmm. the listeners, Mari has been calling me Beth. And there's only one person that really called me that. Shout out to my one of my good friends from middle school, who's also my teammate when we played ball together. Her name mm-hmm. is Shay. Shay gave me the name Beth. And
that
so,
name is so great.
Back
oh,
in the
man.
Day.
That name is great.
Back in the day, mm-hmm. you know, that was my AOL screen name.
Yeah.
So Beth 05 was my screen name.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really fitting because Ari Lennox just released a new album called
She Did.
ASL.
And not like how you heathens have turned this into As Hell. Y'all done turned the ASL
as hell.
Into As
like,
Hell.
Like, what is
and
that?
And that don't even make sense
Ew.
To me. When I see ASL, I think one thing and one thing only. That's it.
Age, sex, location, baby. And if you don't know that, you might be too young, baby.
No.
Okay?
You are 1,000% too young for me. If you ain't never woke up in the morning before you was about to go to school, and you check your computer, and the shit you downloaded did not download, and it didn't burn to that CD, you don't know pain. You really don't know pain. Don't talk to me about, the Wi-Fi not working right now. Yeah, but how about this Lloyd Banks CD I tried to take to school ain't work today? How about that?
Or somebody picked up the phone in the middle of your download.
Oh, man. And didn't click resume. Oh,
doesn't that hurt?
Man,
oh, that
painful,
hurts.
Man. It's painful. But yeah, back to this Ari Lennox.
Were you able to check out her album?
Absolutely. Not only was I able, I was looking forward to it because right before that, she had just dropped off, you know, a little. I want to say a couple songs? I want to say something like that. A little EP-ish or something. It was something like that, man.
It was
a couple joints. And so, you know, listening to those, it was a way message where she has Queen Space, Tatted, Gummy, No Settling, and Bitter. 5 joints on there, 14 minutes of music. And No Settling was the song that when I was playing this on the way to take my baby girl to school, my baby girl stopped what she was doing on her tablet and said, hey, Daddy, what is this song? And I told her, I said, oh, this is this. It's Ari Lennox. And she said, oh, I said, wow, what's up? She said, oh, I like this. I said, oh, you do, huh?
But great she song. Likes her.
Yeah, she loves her. Loves Ari Lennox. Yeah, absolutely. So I was able to listen to it. I made it my business to listen to it. Shout out to Elite that works with J. Cole and all, you know, everybody over there. Did a phenomenal job with this album. Did a great job with the EP. I made it my business to listen to this album, B. And
you know what? I have a new nickname for you. You're like R&B Mari.
Oh.
Because you have really been in your R&B bag lately.
I got to thank you
like,
for that,
real.
Too, really. Because like usually when we have conversations, you'll mention an album, like the Sir album. The last time we spoke and it was all that.
Right.
I was like,
oh my God.
Shit. I was like, yo, I haven't listened to that album
for those who do not know, Sir's album, November.
Yeah, that's one of them. That shit is a classic. Just don't even get me started on that. Like
beginning to end, no skips, beautiful piece of work. My God.
I mean, shit,
yes,
man, you could say the same thing
really,
about this, to be honest.
Yeah, this is honestly a really good vibe of an album. I was not taken aback because I'm not surprised. I like her voice. I like her tone. I like what she writes about.
Yeah.
I like who she collabs with.
Yeah.
You know, she's been, you know, on featuring other people's, especially, you know, she was on Jasmine Sullivan's. And I was really hoping that I would get a little bit of Jasmine Sullivan on this. But it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all good. The one song that just, you know how I listen to music straight through.
Yeah.
But there was one I was like, let me take this back before we continue on. Go ahead.
I want to see if I can guess it. Was it Boy Bye?
Hell yeah, it was Boy Bye. That shit was so.
I knew it.
It was so reminiscent of like 90s R&B, where you have a collaboration of two artists where it's just like.
In a true
these
collaboration.
Two together. Yes. Yeah.
Where they're talking on the show like, and all that. The chemistry is there.
Yes.
Setting the scenario. Yeah. How did I know?
Because where we are in R&B is like, everything is so digital. It's like, hey, I got this song I want you to jump on. And you send the track. They do their verse wherever the fuck they are. And then send it back. And then the engineer and all the people mix and master it. But it's like, being in the room, being in the studio together, it's can tell that this was a real collaboration. And it was giving like, and I don't like to really compare new school to like old school artists. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, this gave D'Angelo and Erykah Badu. Lucky Day sounds incredible on this album.
Because I didn't think, I thought I was wilding out when the first time I heard this. I spent it back myself. Like, I had the same reaction. That's why I probably guessed it right. But I spent it back, and in my head, I was like, man, this reminds me of that one joint. And I ain't want to really say it publicly, because I was like, maybe, I don't know.
No.
But, yeah.
Boy Bye is giving D'Angelo and Badu.
Even the conversation they had where she like, you so, you know what I mean? And he like, nah, like, you know, what's up? It felt like a real genuine conversation that you would like overhear or have yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like that. I also like Queen Space featuring Summer Walker.
Oh, man.
Did you enjoy the track with her and Chloe Bailey?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, there's not one song on this album that I don't like. I will say Mean Mug is probably my favorite. And if I'm remembering correctly, Mean Mug is the one where she did the kind of the homage to Pharrell. The don't be afraid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the she did like kind of that melody. That's a very underrated song. And when I heard it, it put me in the mind of that. So I wouldn't be surprised if she drew inspiration from that. Incredible song. I was happy at the...
Good ear.
Yeah, I was happy at this shit because it's 41 minutes, which means that not only is it a easy listen and like a quick listen, but it's one that you'll run back again and again. Yes. And I've listened to this album probably maybe 4 or 5 times top to bottom. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
And it's truly my favorite piece of just art that's out at the moment.
You know, it's just so funny because people are just like, look, Beyonce's Renaissance has me in a chokehold. I don't want to hear nothing else. But I was like, yeah, I can pause Alien Superstar for a second and go check out Ari. And I did, and I really, really enjoyed it. And it seems like this is something I could just put on when I'm chilling in my room. I'm smoking. Mm-hmm. I'm just like vibing out. I might have a little company or somebody. You know what I'm saying? Company. Like, this is some cool shit. A little company. But it's like one of the, it's rare that like, every once in a while, someone will give us an album with no skips.
Yeah.
I will say Birds in the Trap, except for that one song with Black Youngsta on it. But that's something you can, like, if you having like a house party, you can put Birds in the Trap on and let that shit play.
And just let it rock, yep.
Renaissance, you can let that shit play.
Depending on what type of house party it is, you might want to put that ESTG on, but I'm not sure how long that party going to continue after that. But you could put it on, you know. I'm just saying.
You might. Yeah. You might.
But, you know, but this album is you know, and right now, let me just set the tone for y'all right now. Right now it's fake hoodie weather for like the next week or so down here in Atlanta. And then we'll get back to the high temperatures and shit like that, right? So it's hoodie weather, it's windbreaker weather, it's pumpkin spice candles in the crib weather. And this is the perfect music for this kind of vibe right now. I listen to it in my car. I listen to it in the house. This is a phenomenal album, yo. Like, seriously. Like you said, I've been in my R&B
bag.
That
East Coast. Yeah.
Man, this one of
them. That's like that East Coast Midwest, because here in Vegas, absolutely not. However, I can burn my incense and, you know, I can just vibe out to it. So, yeah.
Shout out to Ari's whole team. Shout out to her pen. Shout out to her mind. Because the things that she's getting to on this album, you can tell she took a step up. Like, she, you know, because even when you listen to, What's the other joint that I love from her? Shea Butter Baby. Shea Butter Baby. Yep. Shea Butter Baby was one of those things where it was like, oh no, she's here now. And this right here, I think, is like, okay, not only is she here, but she's, her steps are like, these are dinosaur steps right now. You make a step now, motherfucker's going to notice. So shout out to Ari for this. This is one of them, man.
Yes, it sure is. So we're going to move on to our main topic.
Wait, before we get there, I have another story.
What's up?
It's a quick story.
Oh, yes. I love story time.
So I want to talk about how the universe is always listening. The universe really understands what's going on. And it'll bring you what you want and what you've been asking for when it's time for you to see it. Last week, maybe a week and a half ago, I was having a conversation with my daughter about like butterflies and shit, right? Like we was just talking about butterflies, flowers, whatever. And I was like, yeah, you know, I told her about the first time I ever saw like a caterpillar, you know, do the whole stage, the cocoon and all that, and, you know, and make the transformation and shit. And I said, man, come to think of it, I haven't seen a caterpillar in a long time. And it makes sense because I'm not just outside like I was when I was a kid. So I said, I'm going to start changing that. You know, I'm going to start taking my son out and just let's go outside and just play in the fucking leaves and rocks and dirt and sticks and all this shit. Let's just go be
boys. Yeah, you don't have to have a playground to play. That's
we don't
right.
have to have any. Let's just go be boys. You know what I mean? We went to go do that the other day. And what did I find by the tree but a caterpillar? Found the caterpillar. That shit made me so happy, yo. Like, you don't even understand. It made me so happy. Because I was outside with my son. He's enjoying it. I'm asking him, is he ready to go back in the house? He's like, no. Like, he just, so, and I'm making sure. And I'm like, bet. Because that's how I was when I was a kid. You got to drag me in the house. So, we outside. We doing our thing. We having fun. Found this caterpillar. I showed it to him. I recorded it. And then, today when I went outside, I saw a butterfly. I don't ever see butterflies like just, you know what I mean? Not that close. Like I saw it. It was right there. I could have left the house at any other time. I left the house at that time. It was a black and yellow butterfly and it was beautiful. I recorded as much as I could of it. And that shit made me like, so this stage in my life is like, I'm really grateful. I'm always grateful, but I'm really grateful and I'm really appreciative of like the things that are just here, the small things that are not so small when you really think about it. Caterpillars and butterflies and just outside, that shit is major.
So do you understand like what seeing butterflies like symbolizes?
Not really.
So the butterfly symbolizes transformation and personal growth.
It seems like they're placing
your life at a very specific time.
And I said not really because I always equate that to like new life, a new, you know, something, but I didn't really know the, you know, that. Yeah. So until you just said that, yeah, that's what 2022 has showed me the most, like me about who I am, what I'm about, what I want, the things that I really want and where I'm about to go in this next step. So that make perfect sense. That shit made me so happy.
Yeah.
It made me so like, happy.
The fact that you were having this conversation with your daughter and then to go out and just, oh, here's a caterpillar. And then next, you see a butterfly, it's like, man, listen, come on.
That shit made me so, and it just reminded me that, like, sure, like, sneakers and fucking hoodies and all this type of shit that, you know, whatever, right? A PS5 and you want this, cool, yes. But let's not forget about the shit that we naturally have that are, like, these are gifts. It's a privilege to see this shit because I can't remember the last time I seen it. And it made me so happy to see that shit. And I was so happy to tell my daughter that I saw it. Like, when I saw her, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I said, yo, I saw a caterpillar today. Like, it was, I was excited about a caterpillar.
See, like, sometimes you just have to, like, wake up and, like, appreciate nature.
Yes.
So, instead of, like, getting my son ready for school and driving him to the bus stop or driving him to school, we walk to the bus stop now.
It's beautiful.
And it's about, like, a 3-minute walk. Beautiful. But it feels good. Just, I leave my phone in the house most of the time. But I leave my phone in the house so that me and my son can have, like, we walk to the bus stop, we talk, I get him, like, hyped up for school.
Yeah.
But every time we've walked down to the bus stop, he has, like, pointed out something. Like, look, hummingbirds. Mm. And, like, you see hummingbirds, like, in the trees, and then he'll look over at a bush. Look, like, there's butterflies over here. And it's just, like, he sees the little things, and it just makes you, like, stop for a second, like, wow, like, this is really beautiful shit. Man. Like, I grew up in the South, like, I wasn't seeing hummingbirds just out.
Yeah.
Like, I see other, you know, different type of bird insects and stuff.
Few different type of birds.
But it was just so beautiful. Like, my son has always been the one to, like, point out things in which, you know, people know that he's really all about the solar system. But before he became such a huge fan of the solar system, we can go to the park in broad daylight and I'm pushing him on a swing and he'll look and be like, the moon.
That's beautiful, man.
It and beautiful. It makes you stop and look and appreciate, like, wow.
Yeah, man, because we got
it. It puts things in perspective. Like, we're on planet Earth.
Yes.
There's the moon out there.
This is real.
Orbiting this planet. Like, this is real. This is shit. Real.
That shit is incredible.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's incredible.
We sound so high right now.
No, we do. We do. And I did smoke, but trust me, dog. Like, this is not influenced by that. But this is just like real life. Like, when you really, you know, really learn to sit, and now as you just said that, everything I'm about to say about the sound like the highest shit ever. But, like, when you really go outside and just, you can just touch a leaf, my nigga. Like, yo, this is a leaf, yeah. Bro. Like, this shit real life. You know what I'm saying? So just taking my son out there, it gave me a sense of, like, nostalgia. It reminded me of, like, the kid that I was when I was his age. And it was, like, this surreal moment where it's, like, I felt like I'm looking at myself as a kid, discovering these new things for the first time. He looking at bugs and he throwing shit at the tree. And he like, yo, daddy, look, it's a bug. Yo, it's a stick. It's this. And we just having fun. We in our element. And I'm like, man, this is.
Yeah.
That's what it was about.
It's
man,
something you know what I mean? About, like, telling your kids, look, put the video game down, put the tablet down, turn the TV off.
Yep, that's my whole goal. That's my whole goal. Our kids get caught up a lot and, you know, having a tablet in front of them and stuff like that. Yep. So I was like, you know what? Instead of me just telling him to put the tablet down, like we talk about with grown men, if you can't tell this dude to get off the corner because you don't have an option for him, how you going to tell your son, hey, put that tablet down? What you going to replace it with? Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to go replace it with, let's go outside then. Let's me and you go outside and put 10 toes down in the grass and walk around and just let's see what's up. So, yeah, man, I just, it was on my heart to share that, man. I hope somebody out there, you know, you can listen to that, pull something from that, whatever. But it made me happy. Yeah, it made me so happy. It wasn't.
But you know what this means? Get your ass out the house. Go outside.
Leave some, listen, you get too caught up in Twitter and Instagram and all this shit, you'll start to think that that's a react. Like, no, go snip some air. You know what I'm saying? Whatever type of air you into, you heard? But
and you know what? My best friend, she posted a video of my goddaughter, who's 11 years old. She went outside and played in the rain. She was just outside, just like letting the rain just fall on her.
Beautiful.
And I was like, that is joy. She is enjoying being a child, just playing in the rain. Like, when was the last time you were out and actually just appreciated the rain?
When the last time you was outside and you wasn't mad at the rain? Like, fuck, man, it's raining. Like, it's, you know what I mean? So, like, that's an ill perspective that a kid can run outside and, you know, because you got to remember, we were kids once. And we, you know, I played outside in the rain and we did, you know, shit like that in the rain. I come home from school, whether it was raining or not, me and my dad, we tossing around the Nerf. Maybe it was a blue and gray joint, the Nerf ball. Like, we, you know what I mean? Like, you outside in the elements and shit, so it's important, man. Like, it's really important. Like, and I sound excited because I really am. Like, that shit genuinely made me happy. Like, it genuinely did. So, yeah, man.
I believe you.
Yeah.
So, for the main topic. Oh, shit. Is that me? So, I saw a thread on Twitter. And, you know, for the listeners who may not know this, me and Mari, I like friends in real life. We have some real conversations before and after we record. Like, we
absolutely
talk about other shit than just like pop culture and music or whatever.
Yeah.
We talk about friendships and family stuff. Like, it's, we talk about life. So I saw this tweet and it made me think. Immediately I sent it to you as soon as I saw it. But I'm just going to read these this thread here. So bear with me, guys. It says, it's from Dana White. His at is It's Dana White. He says, maybe your friends say, I'm fine, because you aren't going to offer them anything but regurgitated green, brown, or vague platitudes about manifesting that won't change their circumstances. Does your friendships, even for a moment, allow unproductive emotion, just feeling? We've learned so many positive ways of telling people they're on their own to figure it out and they shouldn't ruin the vibe while doing so. We've learned how to coach each other to stay productive no matter what. That's not actually care. And when we tire of barely being a soft place because no one is that for us, we pressure folks into therapy as some universal solution that most people can't even afford to sustain, then shame them if they can't. There's no village. We're just in a crowd. And I'm telling you, folks have never felt this abandoned. Wow.
That's real. Yeah, that's real.
Now, this immediately took me to a place, because first of all, I have some incredible friends in my life.
Yeah.
I have some incredible listeners, and I really hope that they think that I'm the same. I provide the same for them. But a couple weeks ago, I had to go to North Carolina. I had to go home for my uncle's funeral and, you know, to be with family and everything. And when I got back, I was gone for like a week. And when I got back, my neighbor was like, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. How's everything?" I was like, "I'm doing okay. You know, I just got back from North Carolina. I had to go to a funeral." She was like, "Oh, okay, that's good. All right, it's good seeing you." And then she just keeps going. I was like, "What the fuck was
that's
that?
Good.
I just told you I went to a funeral." So I immediately was like, she didn't process a motherfucking thing. It's just like a lot of people are on autopilot. It's like, "Hey, how you doing?" But with no intention
of
actually.
You automatically trained to hear a motherfucker saying, "I'm cool." And you're like, "Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's what's up." Yeah.
But which in turn makes people not say how they are really doing because people don't fucking listen. People really don't care.
Right, because what you going to do about it anyway? Even if I wasn't doing the best, what you going to do about it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
100%.
So a lot of people are out here pretending like everything is all good. But I, you know, I will say therapy helped me through this where I don't really ever want to be a burden to anybody. I like to take care of my own shit as, you know, things are happening. As life is lifing, I'm taking care of it as best as I can. I really don't try to put that on other people to worry about. But my therapist was like, "You might be hurting yourself by not being honest with people when they ask you, how you doing?" I've been that person, like, "Oh, I'm good," when I'm not good. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's just not, it's kind of like a handicap. So once I started being real with people and saying, "Actually, I'm not." And do you know what comes from that? Some actual help.
100%.
It actually does.
It weeds out the people who aren't
some
there
help.
To help you, too. Because if you
exactly
say that,
that,
there's people that follow up
that
with you,
part.
Like, "Hey, you good? Like, what's going on?"
Yeah.
And then other people will be like, "Oh, let me just," and it's like, "Okay, cool."
Yeah. And I get it because we're just trained to be productive and keep it moving. And, you know, you don't want to be a burden. You just want to, you know, work things out on your own. You don't want to seem like you're complaining. And a lot of people just want to seem like they have all of their shit together. And I think that's part of my thing too. Like, I need people to know, like, I got it.
Yeah.
But you can still be like, "Man, I was fucked up last week. I'm not feeling
I ain't gonna
too
lie,
good.
I'm getting cooked.
I'm getting cooked." Okay. For real. And it's okay. It's okay. It makes you relatable.
Yeah.
Because if you're just, everything is all good, I have no problems, no issues. It's like, But reading that, I was like, no, I feel like I have some friends that I can actually talk to and be real with. And, you know, the thing that stood out to me was like, does your friendship, even for a moment, allow unproductive emotion, just feeling? If my friends call me and I can hear it in their voice, like, "Oh, they just need to get this shit out," I'm gonna let you go off. If you cry, cool. I'm never gonna be like, "Don't cry, don't no, get that shit out." It's healthy to do that. Like, allow people to express themselves instead of suppressing it.
I like
that. Cause it fucks them up in other ways.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I do agree with you with your assessment of like our friendship, because it is one that's like, podcast aside, like, I don't care what's going on. Like, you can hit me up about something and I'm here. And I know it's the same, you know, if I hit you up. To go back to the thing about being okay, I always tell people, I would always say, like, "Yeah, I'm cool. I'm good." Like, no matter what's going on, whatever, right? The very first time in my life that I was ever truthful about how I was feeling was when my brother passed away. And one of his friends asked me, was I okay? And I looked at him and I said, no. because there was no room for me to lie about how I was feeling, because I felt so strongly about the truth in that moment, where I was just like, I feel too strongly about this to even be disrespectful to the moment and say like, yeah, I'm okay. Because how dare I say I'm okay and I'm not, and I don't know when and if I'll ever be okay again behind this. So that's the day I started to learn to tell the truth. But then that's the day I also learned the truth is not for everybody, because I can go tell 100 people that I'm okay. I can tell 100 people that I'm not okay. What they do with that information separates who belongs this close to me and who belongs a little bit further out. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
From that day, I started moving that way. And to this day right now, like, no matter what's going on with me, I may not share that with everybody. I may not share those feelings with everybody, because some people are at a I'm cool level. Other people are at a, man, hey, life, right. Man, dog. This shit got hands. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm straight, though. But this shit got hands. Trust me. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And, and I think being able to joke about, in those moments, like, your vulnerability and stuff like that, it speaks to your friendship with the person. You know what I'm saying? So, like, even if I do hit you up and be like, man, I ain't gonna lie, dog, shit, you know, whatever, we gonna find some common ground to laugh at this shit. We gonna find a way to make a Martin or a Jamie Foxx joke out of this shit. And, you know, we gonna turn it into something. Like, you know, it is what it is. It doesn't take away from the severity of the situation. It just gives you a safe place to talk to people. And I do want to say that since you said that about me before, like I'm a safe space, that's become my favorite compliment ever, because it speaks to who I am and not like anything else that I didn't have control. Like, I didn't have control over me looking this striking and handsome in this hairline. So I didn't have any control over that. I played a little small part in that. You know what I'm saying? That's still a fact. Let's not get away from that. That's still a fact. That happened. But the things that I can control are the things that I like, you know, as I get older and I mature more, I start to place value in those things. Like, yeah, I had a hand in that. I had a hand in how I can act and how I treat people and how I make people feel about themselves, not only just me. So I think that's important. And anybody out there, like, if you have those friendships, it's important that you do assessments on your place in people's lives and their place in yours. It's nothing wrong with that.
What do you mean assessment? Like, how do you
assessments as far as, like, when you look around and you start expecting things out of people because you have that much love for them, start to ask yourself, are you getting that back from them? And if you aren't, that's okay. Just understand that you guys might be associates and not friends. Understand what you call a friend, who you consider family, who's just an acquaintance and whatever, and place people in their proper categories. Even if you had high hopes for somebody and you said, man, this is somebody I can be friends with. If they show you that they're not a friend to you, you don't owe them your friendship. Now, you can still, you know, if you still find it in your heart, and God put that on your heart, the universe put that on your heart to do a kind gesture for them, do that. But just go into it, understand that you may not get that back. So don't put that expectation on them. If you got friends, like I said, just put them in different categories, reassess and understand. This is not a person that's hitting me up, asking me how I'm doing and really caring. This is not somebody I can confide in or whatever. That might just be an associate. I see him every now and then. We speak every now and then. It is what it is. And that's okay.
And you know, sometimes it's a bit disappointing because you have high hopes. And like, man, we could have really been like cool
man,
people,
we could have been
I
something.
Mean, they just... But, you know, sometimes that's why it just takes time. Sometimes you got to feel things out and see, like, what's good instead of because you have people who are immediately like, oh, man, I met this person last night. Man, they so fucking cool. Like, that's my bro.
That's my bro. That's my.
Like,
yeah.
Like, how about you?
4 days later, like,
know this
don't
person.
Even answer the phone, man. Nigga, fake as hell. Like, no, y'all just don't even know each other.
You
created a fake beef just right there, like, for nothing. Nigga don't even know
like,
you
got to give people time. Like, my best friend, Gabby, who, you know, you've heard her voice notes here on this pod.
Shout out to Gabby, yep.
We have been friends since 7th grade. And when I tell you, she has seen the good and the bad and the ugly.
Shout out to my man,
Chugs.
This
is someone.
I've been friends with this dude since we was, like, 8 years old, dog. Like, we grown men with kids now. So, hey.
Yeah. Like, having that person that is a safe space is a beautiful thing, especially, like, you don't have to give them backstory because they've been there the whole time.
Yeah.
So they already know how you are. They know how to listen and and also they know how to hold you accountable.
For sure.
Now,
me,
and this is me as a friend, I am definitely a safe space. But when I see that you are not trying to change a situation or make something better, you're just like, you just want to talk about this shit because you just always in such a sucky place. I'm going to ask you, hey, are you like, you just need to vent or you want some advice?
That's like, important.
I have to ask
that's
that.
That's important.
So do you want me to say what I would do in this situation, or do you just need to get this shit off your chest because it's bothering you right now? Because I'm not going to be that person that you can just continue just to be like, and can you believe? Yes, I can. You told me 15 times.
Yeah, I knew this was going to happen. Yeah, like I 100% I can believe it. Like I knew this was going to happen. Yeah. 1,000%. You know what I'm saying?
I'm a solution-based person. You know what I mean? Like, let's talk about a resolution. I'm talking like we need to talk about how we can make things better. I don't like to just sulk and sit into some
We have to be
same
in
the shit.
We have to be in the problem solving business, not the lingering on what's going on. Now, again, if you have your gripes you want to get out about this issue, 100%, but just let me know what role I need to play. Like, you need me to set picks today or you need me to shoot today? Well, I can do either one, but let me know. Like, if you just want to vent, you just want to get this off your chest, cool. But, you know, if you want me to help you with this, then cool. Because there is a time and a place for that. If you want to vent, you may take me helping you as an attack. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I don't want that for us.
Oh, my
God. So just let me know.
I have literally had that happen before. There was this girl that I was cool with. She was dating this guy who was just treating her like shit. And it got to the point where I'm like, I feel like you like this. You like the drama. You like the bad treatment because you have something to complain about.
So
I didn't say this aloud to her, but I made this assessment as she continued to like bring this guy up. And I'm just like, why you keep talking about this guy? And so I asked her, I'm like, look, why don't you just like stop talking to him? And just me even like suggesting that was like, what you mean? And it's like,
they're like, I mean,
okay. So this is someone that you want in your life and you want to continue to deal with crazy, wild behavior. As your friend, I don't want to continue to see you going through this. So I would like to offer a solution. You don't want a solution? You want to vent? Guess what? How about you vent to this trash ass nigga to somebody else?
Yeah, or don't bring that nigga around me because I can't fuck with him now.
And don't bring him around.
I know what's real now. Like, let's not do that. So yeah, no, you definitely need to take inventory of that and understand. You know what I mean? Like, I know I got homeboys who I've been knowing my whole life. I got homeboys I've been knowing for 10 years. You know, whatever, right? Even like a little less than that. But like, these are my brothers, and I know that they're a safe space as well because I could be really going through some shit and I can just go and hit the group chat and be like, yo, bros, this was going on.
Yeah.
And everybody going to meet. It's going to be love. It's going to be, you know what I'm saying? Uplifting.
Support.
Hey, bro, you got it. Yo, whatever you need, hit me.
Yep.
Let me know. I got I look at my circle the same way that Jay-Z said, nobody will fall because everyone will be each other's crutches. That's exactly how me and my guys move. And I love that for all of us. I really do. I do.
Amen. Yes. So, you know, I just really want people to pay attention to their friendships and the people that, you know, they consider friends.
Yeah, 100%.
And like, are they really a safe space for you?
Or are they not living up to a title that you shouldn't have gave them in the first place?
Ooh. Oh. You know, that takes a lot of honesty and being still long enough so you can think about what's really going on. And a lot of people are just out here busy and they got friends that, you know, you might have a friend like, hey, I can party and hang out with this person. This isn't someone that I call when I need someone to talk to or safe space.
There you go.
Or you got someone that's just like, oh, this is my safe space. I really don't want to like hang out with them, but we have great conversation. And
it's like music.
You know, like,
you're not listening to, you know, party turn up music when you're in the bed trying to, you know, sort your thoughts out, and you're not in the club trying to listen to, like, you know, Talib Kweli and Common and shit like that. So it's a bit like, there's a time and a place for it. Friendships are no different,
that's
bro.
Right.
People are in your life, and it's like, sure, they might be saying all the right things. They might be calling you a friend, and they might even looked out for you before. But what did they do? Did they do it for you, or did they do it to be able to say they did it for you? You gotta really, ask yourself that. Really ask yourself and understand that, because there's some people out there that's moving that way. So it's like, for me, we don't necessarily have to be the same kind of person. I don't expect you out of, you know, or like me out of you or whatever, that's cool. We don't have to be the same type of person. But if we differ in morals, values, and principles, we ain't got a shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, we really don't. We got to share some common ground on things that matter to me. So that's just what it is.
You said it. That's right. You know, I want to thank the listeners for tuning in.
Always.
We're going to get some messages about this topic for sure.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I welcome them too, because this is one of them.
Oh, yeah. It's one of them. Like, I immediately sent it to you.
Yeah. Hell
like,
yeah.
Like, I was going to screenshot it and post it to my story, but I'm like, nah. Like, I want to send this to the people that I really like fuck with, because.
And I recognize that about you, because you don't come off as somebody who hits up people that you don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't come across as somebody who doesn't like you just do it for the engagement. It's like, nah, I'm gonna tap in with my people who I want to tap in with. And I appreciate that greatly, because like, in turn, it's shown me that like, if that's the way that you express that, then that's the way I need to express that to you in return, and like, show you that. So even in times when I see something, I'm like, yeah, I'll send it to her later. Like, nah, let me do that right now before I forget, because like, this is important. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you appreciated that. And
appreciate
you. And to our listeners, tap in with us on social media, Instagram, Twitter. Link is in the description. Follow us. Talk to us. We talk. Bye.
Yes. Be respectful when you send those DMs. You know what I'm saying?
We're not. We're not. Because you know. You know about me. I want all the smoke. I don't back down from it. Not a thing.
Goddamn right.
What's good? What's good? Miley, what's good? All right, until next week. We out.
We out, man.